for those listeners wondering, Peter King does not have every draft pick memorized through 2011.
He does not. He's looking at it on Wikipedia as we go through. Do you imagine Andrew Luck throwing the ball to DeSean Jackson, to Pierre Garçon, to a really talented group of tight ends? What would happen if those quarterbacks had been reversed on those two teams? Washington would have won the vast majority of their games with Andrew Luck.
This is Robert Klimko with the MMQB podcast. We're on the MMQB tour van, me and Peter King, riding shotgun. We just left Richmond, Virginia with Washington, and we're on our way to Wofford College in South Carolina. Is that North Carolina or South Carolina?
It is South Carolina, yeah.
Shows how much I know, which you describe as the picturesque spot for an NFL training camp.
I love Wofford. Wofford College, where in Spartanburg, South Carolina, where we're headed to next, is one of the coolest places because it's the classic old NFL training camp. And it's there because Jerry Richardson, the owner of the Carolina Panthers, you know, for much of his life has lived in Spartanburg, loves it there. It's a really cool small college, and it'll be exciting to see the Panthers. They get a lot of interesting people on that team.
All of these training camps that were off-site used to have these connections to, you know, the decision makers. Like, and the ones that still exist all do. Like in Buffalo, they do it at St. John Fisher College because I believe it's Russ Brandon went to that school and played there.
Yeah, he was a baseball player there. And St. John Fisher College is an absolute classic NFL training camp spot. It's 70 minutes outside of Buffalo. It does a really good job of serving the Bills fan base. In the old days, when teams had to be concerned about serving a broader fan base, a lot of times they would go into a different area, maybe a borderline area of their popularity, and they'd have training camp there, and it really kind of helped them sell tickets. And that's long term why the Bills are in this Rochester suburb, which is just a really, really picturesque place.
I think it makes a lot of sense, and it's more fun to visit. What I wanted to get into with you was a question that came up at dinner earlier. We just had dinner in South Hill, Virginia, at a place called Cahill's, and really good seafood, really good steaks. The whole staff came out and took pictures with Peter. It was a good experience. We were talking about Washington and how there are so many indicators, you know, within the management, on the roster, with the quarterback position, that it's just not going to work out, that this whole staff and this whole roster is going to be blown up in the next, you know, 2 years or so. And you said, think about how different things would have been or could have been if they were able to get Andrew Luck in that draft. And I want to ask you, do you believe that Andrew Luck is the kind of quarterback who could have thrived and turned things around with any team, no matter the coaching situation? And if you do, how many of those guys have come through the NFL? It's got to be a small number, right?
Well, I think if you look at what exactly the Indianapolis Colts had Robert Griffin III instead of Andrew Luck, and say Washington had Andrew Luck, I think one of the things we'd be looking at today is, do you imagine Andrew Luck throwing the ball to DeSean Jackson, to Pierre Garçon, to a really talented group of tight ends? I think Andrew Luck would have had the same sort of personal success. I don't know that they would have had the same sort of team success, because I think you and I both feel like the general manager of the Indianapolis Colts has been a huge factor. in their resurgence post Peyton Manning, Ryan Grigson.
Sure. Yeah.
But I think that it's logical to say what would happen if those quarterbacks had been reversed on those two teams. And in my opinion, I think that the Colts would have been either a perennial loser or would have lost most of the last 3 years. And I think that Washington would have won a majority to vast majority of their games with Andrew Luck.
And certainly Shanahan, the Shanahans, you know, would still be coaching there, right?
Oh, no question about it. I mean, Mike Shanahan and Kyle Shanahan with Andrew Luck, I think they would have thought they had died and gone to heaven. I remember going back to the Donovan McNabb experience in Washington when Mike and Kyle Shanahan had him. You know, if you're going to be a quarterback in the Shanahan offense, you're going to need to be a worker bee. You know, and you can see some of the quarterbacks who failed over the years. Jake Plummer, he really wasn't a worker bee. Donovan McNabb was not a worker bee. And I think Andrew Luck would certainly have been a worker bee. And that's not the entire reason why a guy succeeds or fails. But I just think it's interesting that, you know, if you compare how teams would have done with certain guys, it's just, it's so stark when you start thinking about it. You know, the one other thing about that draft, Robert, 2012, can you imagine if, let's just say for the sake of argument, that Washington picking second, just say, did not have to trade away all those pieces.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, look, we can speculate all we want about, you know, who might have done what and, you know, who would have picked who. But for a very, very, very simple reason, you know, when you think about it, Russell Wilson is the 75th pick in the draft. Washington had the 71st pick in that draft and took Josh Laribius, you know, that guard.
Yeah.
Who plays now. But just think, an early second-round pick, or an early third-round pick, rather, they could have taken Russell Wilson. And if you look at it, you know, further up the board, look at the places that Washington traded away picks that year. You know, they had the 39th pick in the draft. They traded that to St. Louis as part of the deal to get that second pick in the draft. And so that 39th pick in the draft, who knows? Maybe it could have been Cordy Glenn. Maybe it could have been Alshon Jeffrey or Bobby Wagner even.
Yeah.
You know, and then you look a little higher, and obviously, you know, when you look at you know, what happened earlier in the draft with, say, I think it was the 6th pick in the draft that year, which was retraded, and Dallas ended up getting Morris Claiborne out of it. You know, you look at what Washington could have had instead of Robert Griffin III. They could have sat there and gotten Luke Kuechly or Dontari Poe. So it's easy to sit back and to say these things, but clearly this is a huge reason why, if Robert Griffin III does not make it this year and they have to get rid of him, look at how in such a major way the franchise would have been set back.
For those listeners wondering, Peter King does not have every draft pick memorized through 2011.
He does not. He's looking at it on Wikipedia.
We have
as we go through.
We've got Wi-Fi on the van, which is very swanky and sponsored by State Farm, among others. I think Russell Wilson is a guy who would have thrived on 15 football teams. And I don't think Washington is one of those teams. Regardless of whether or not you have Luke Kuechly or Dontari Poe and you kept all those pieces. The other way around, I don't think Andrew Luck is a guy who you could put in 32 situations with 32 different offensive coordinators and expect him to keep your job as a head coach.
No, you don't. You can't do that. But now, Robert, let's think about this, okay? So in his first year with the Indianapolis Colts, Andrew Luck, you know, was coached by Bruce Arians and not that there's anything wrong with Bruce Arians, obviously. This is a great head coach for him. But then Arians gets the head coaching job in Indianapolis, and he changes coordinators right away. He goes to Pep Hamilton. Obviously, they run different offenses. And look, I don't know the numbers. I don't know the stats right in front of me, but Andrew Luck as a rookie killed it. Andrew Luck as a second-year guy killed it. And Andrew Luck as a third-year guy killed it even more.
And never really had the benefit of a great offensive line that had a lot of continuity.
No, had a, you know, had a very mediocre offensive line. So all I'm saying is that, you know, we can think of – it's like, you know, I get a kick out of everybody sort of bashing Russell Wilson and just saying he's a guy and all that stuff. And that's fine. Everybody's entitled to their own opinion. But, you know, in the case of Wilson, the quarterback before him over a three-year period won 20 games. Wilson, over his first 3 years, won 42 games.
Right.
Don't tell me that quarterback wins shouldn't be a statistic. It should be. RG3 is not in position right now to be Andrew Luck, because Andrew Luck right away had a lot of success in Indianapolis. And Robert Griffin III in the first year had significant success, and then he's had none since. So I just, for some reason, I just don't doubt Andrew Luck's ability to morph into a different passer. But I do doubt Robert Griffin III's ability to do the same thing.
Wrapping up the QB talk, it's inevitable everywhere you go. I mean, the QB is the biggest conversation piece with every franchise at this point. But we're headed down to Spartanburg. We're going to see the Carolina Panthers. So far on this leg of the trip, we've seen the Ravens and we've seen the Washington team. I wanted to ask you two questions. What's been the most memorable part so far, and what are you most looking forward to?
I'd say in terms of memorable so far, I've, you know, I always enjoy being around the Ravens, because I feel like every year when I go to Ravens camp, I feel like I see a team that has a good chance to be in the Super Bowl that year. And, you know, that's probably wishful thinking, but, you know, Robert, think about this, okay? Think about what John Harbaugh has done over his first 7 years in the NFL. He's entering his eighth season. But think about what he's done in his first 7 years. You know, every single year they're in contention until late in the year. I mean, every year. Who's in contention every year?
Yeah.
And so, I mean, that's kind of a cool thing. And I think the other thing is just the continuity aspect. Pittsburgh gets so much credit for having, you know, Dan Rooney and Art Rooney II, you know, atop the ownership stand. And then you've got the same coach, Mike Tomlin, and you've got the same quarterback, Ben Roethlisberger, all since 2008. And it's the exact same thing in Baltimore. You know, the same coach, quarterback, general manager, you know, and owner, quite frankly, since calendar year 2008. And I think even though you don't want to keep beating your head against the wall if you feel like you don't have a long-term coach, quarterback, owner, whatever – but I think that what's so impressive about what the Ravens have done is that every year, and I would say this even if they lost Joe Flacco, but every single year they're in it.
The Ravens do something in my mind that is so impressive and so rare, and I think the Seahawks have done it really well in recent years as well, though for not as long. You take a player that does one thing really well, and you're putting him in a position to accomplish that as much as possible.
Yeah.
The classic example in my mind, having been around the team in 2012, was the inside linebacker, Danelle Ellerbe. They used him on the interior blitz stuff, which was his specialty, getting after the quarterback, and a great run stopper. And he leaves because he wants more money than they feel that he's worth after the Super Bowl season.
Right.
The Super Bowl season, mind you, when they lost, I think it was 6 or 7 defensive starters late in the season to injury.
Yeah.
And he gets the big contract in Miami, and he does nothing because Baltimore made him look like a better player than he was.
Yeah.
And I think the Seahawks do that really well. And that's, as long as you have the quarterback, you have the continuity and the management structure, and you have creative minds on both offense and defense who can compensate for the weaknesses of players and, you know, celebrate or accentuate the strengths, I think you're always going to compete.
You know, yeah, you will. But I think one of the things that every NFL coach understands at the start of the year, you know, Robert, we're at the Ravens practice, and, you know, I'm there with Patrick Gleason, one of the PR guys for the Ravens, and I said, let's go over the roster because, I mean, so many guys here are gone. So many bodies have been replaced. So we go over the roster, and we figure out that 17 of the 22 starters in the Super Bowl 2.5 years ago with the Baltimore Ravens are gone.
Gone.
I mean, just and look, you know, as John Harbaugh told me the other day, football is a transient business, and if you can't accept it, you're not going to be able to survive. So to me, I just think one of the things I really appreciate about Steve Bisciotti, Ozzie Newsome, Eric DaCosta, and other personnel czar there, and the rest of their coaching staff, I look at it and I say, these guys are so lucky to have a common theme in their organization. They don't have five guys looking for their next job. They have everybody looking for this job. And I have a lot of admiration for what the Ravens have done.
Yeah. Before I let you get back to Twitter, I wanted to ask you, well, first I wanted to tell you the thing that I was most looking forward to, and then I wanted to ask you what you were looking forward to. My favorite stop on the tour, I think, is going to be Atlanta, because I'm so excited to see all the changes and how they're taking shape there under Dan Quinn. I always admired him as a defensive coordinator after meeting him and talking some football with him a couple of years ago in Seattle. And while it's always fun to see the Ravens, I think that continuity is a little bit boring as a reporter.
Yeah.
I want to know how things are being shaken up and how something that could potentially be so great with Matt Ryan, because you have the quarterback, how that is molded from the very beginning.
I think you're right. I think one of the great things about football as a sport is that it isn't what baseball is. It isn't what the NBA is. It isn't what hockey is, which is you can build long-term teams up and down the roster. And look, the Ravens and the Steelers have the same quarterback, coach, personnel guy, you know, since Flacco and Roethlisberger, practically since they came in the league. But I think the big difference with these teams and with other teams is that they can take a mulligan. The Baltimore Ravens will take a mulligan, whereas Daniel Snyder, if he goes 10-6 one year and then the next series 5-11, and look, maybe the team is out of control or whatever, I understand that, but in general, Dan Snyder knows that he's going to have some down years. I don't think he ever really realized that before. He always sort of thought, we're going to be okay because I can spend a lot of money.
Well, you look at how these guys get rich. Dan Snyder got rich when one company blew up, and then he spent the rest of his career trying to find that next company that's going to blow up.
Right, right.
And he had some moderate success, but none of them really did. You get in, you don't think it's going to work, you get out. You get in a new one, you don't think it's going to work, you get out. And he's managed the football team the same way.
Yeah. I think when you are considering how good a team can be long-term, it's basically three people. It's the general manager, it's the coach, it's the quarterback. After those three people, I just think you can plug and play a lot of different guys and still win.
Yeah. Well, thank you for joining us on the podcast. We're about 3 hours away from Spartanburg. Really looking forward to it. And if you have any parting words for my friend Andy Benoit, now is the time.
Andy Benoit is my guy, and he's out in San Diego covering the Chargers for us. He'll be doing two more California teams. Can't wait to read his observations. He's always cogent.
All right. Thanks a lot, Peter.
Great to be with you, Robert.
We'd like to know what you think. Is Peter right? Would Washington have been better off drafting Andrew Luck? Is it too early to call an end to the RG3 era? Tweet me at Robert Klemko, K-L-E-M-K-O. We love hearing from listeners. And use the hashtag MMQBpodcast. Listen for more Training Camp Travels with Peter King on next week's podcast, Thursdays on iTunes and themmqb.com. For Peter King and Andy Benoit, I'm Robert Klemko.
Tip of the hat to Albert, another strong edition of MMQB. Did you know your favorite team has a daily podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network? Steelers fans, we have you covered with Locked On Steelers. Cowboys fans, it's Locked On Cowboys. And Chiefs fans, it's Locked On Chiefs. You get the picture. Search Locked On, your favorite team. Search on Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts for Locked On, your favorite team. Or tell your smart speaker to play podcasts Locked On, your favorite team. Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.